Hello, darklings, and welcome to the Nocturnal Mysteries Podcast, a show about the paranormal, supernatural, mysterious, and things that go bump in the night. I'm your host, Jenny. Please, come and join me. Sit down and place your fingers on the planchette. And let's jump right into this nocturnal mystery. Listener, it would be strange if tales of ghosts, monsters, and other supernatural events didn't attach themselves to cemeteries. Tales of the paranormal are often connected to our hopes and fears about death. And what is more death-related than a graveyard full of hundreds, if not thousands, of burials? Most cemeteries are quiet. They can be lovely, park-like spaces, full of history, beautiful memorial art, and contemplative space. Assuming you're behaving respectfully and visiting during the daytime, you generally wouldn't have a problem with burial grounds. But that's not always so. Some cemeteries are full of troubled history, like problematic occupants and nearby atrocities. Others are plagued by urban legends, which could put your very soul in danger. Even if none of these things are true, are only half true, then many of us cannot help but be spooked anyways. Those most skeptical among us can still be scared by weathered tombstones, odd shadows, and the thought of what all those lives and remains might mean when they're gathered together in one place. From the old town's eerie narrow closes and alleys where the height of the buildings on either side block out the light, to the chilling paranormal occupants of the world-famous South Bridge vaults, Edinburgh, Scotland has been described as Europe's most haunted capital city. Chock full of ghost stories, one of the most famous locations in the city is Grey Friars Kirkyard, said to be the most haunted cemetery in the world. Established during the reign of Mary, Queen of Scots, within a few years, the cemetery had already been used for thousands of victims of the Black Plague of 1568. There are over 700 gravestones and nearly 100,000 people buried in Greyfriars Kirkyard. Burials were granted on the site in 1562 after the city's original graveyard at St. Giles became overcrowded. Surviving a fire in 1845, the last burials in Greyfriars took place in the 1870s, and it remains one of the most iconic and haunted landmarks within the city. Greyfriars Kirkyard has haunted people throughout the world for years now. It was the inspiration for Neil Gaiman's The Graveyard Book. J.K. Rowling also found some familiar names such as McGonagall, Moody, and Thomas Riddle in the kirkyard. Supposedly, Greyfriars as a whole was the inspiration for the cemetery in Godric's Hollow, where Harry Potter's parents are buried. As soon as you enter the kirkyard, which is the old Scottish word for churchyard, you will come face to face with a statue of one of the graveyard's least intimidating residents, Greyfriars Bobby. In 1850, a gardener called John Grey, together with his wife Jess and son John, arrived in Edinburgh. Unable to find work as a gardener, he avoided the workhouse by joining the Edinburgh police force as a night watchman. To keep him company through the long winter nights, John took on a partner, a diminutive Skye terrier, his watchdog, called Bobby. Together, John and Bobby became a familiar sight trudging through the old cobbled streets of Edinburgh. Through thick and thin, and all seasons, they were faithful friends. The years spent walking the street as a night watchman appeared to have taken its toll on John, as he was later treated for tuberculosis. John eventually died of the disease on February 15, 1858, and was buried in Greyfriars Kirkyard. Bobby soon touched the hearts of local residents when he refused to leave his master's grave, even in the worst weather conditions. The gardener and keeper of Greyfriars tried on many occasions to evict Bobby from the kirkyard. In the end, he gave up and provided a shelter for Bobby by placing sacking beneath two tablestones at the side of John's grave. Bobby's fame spread throughout Edinburgh. It is reported that almost on a daily basis, the crowds would gather at the entrance of the kirkyard, waiting for the 1 o'clock gun that would signal the appearance of Bobby, leaving the grave for his midday meal. Bobby would follow William Dow, a local joiner and cabinet maker, to the same coffee house that he had frequented with his now dead master, where he was given a meal. In 1867, a new bylaw was passed that required all dogs to be licensed in the city or they would be put down. Sir William Chambers, the Lord Provost of Edinburgh, decided to pay Bobby's license and presented him with a collar with a brass inscription, "Greyfriars Bobby from the Lord Provost, 1867, licensed." This is now on display in the Museum of Edinburgh. The local residents of Edinburgh took good care of Bobby, but still he remained loyal to his master. For 14 years, the dead man's faithful dog kept constant watch and guard over the grave of his former owner, until his own death in 1872. Baroness Angela Georgina Burdett Coutts, president of the Ladies' Committee of the RSPCA, was so deeply moved by his story that she asked the city council for permission to erect a granite fountain with a statue of Bobby placed on top. William Brodie sculpted the statue, and it was unveiled without ceremony in November 1873, opposite Greyfriars Kirkyard. And it is with that Scotland's capital city will always remember its most famous and faithful dog. Rubbing his nose is thought to bring good luck, and the amount of visitors who have done this is evident by the wear to the statue. Bobby's headstone reads, "Greyfriars Bobby, died 14th January 1872, aged 16 years. Let his loyalty and devotion be a lesson to us all." To this day, people reportedly hear disembodied barking and some swear they have seen a small, ghostly dog running through the churchyard. Many of the tombs and gravestones of Greyfriars Kirkyard feature skulls and dancing skeletons. This style of morbid imagery is known as memento mori, Latin for remember, you will die. You might also notice hourglasses or wilting flowers. While the art style seems macabre to the modern eye, the intention was meant to be more philosophical, to remind those left behind that life is fleeting and that worldly vanities are not important. The monument of Surgeon James Borthwick is possibly the largest skeleton in Greyfriars. His monument measures 4 meters by 2 meters. Borthwick was admitted to the Incorporation of Surgeons and Barbers in Edinburgh in 1645 as a master surgeon, and was the first surgeon employed specifically to teach anatomy. He died in 1676. His monument was erected by his son and is occasionally referred to as the Dancing Skeleton. The skeleton is holding the Book of Destiny. The memorial also bears the symbols relating to his profession, knives, scalpels, syringes, in the ribbons on either side of the stone. Along the bottom ridge of the tombstone, you'll also see the tools of the sexton crossed behind a coffin in the two bottom corners. not to mention one of the smallest skulls and crossbones within Greyfriars. Continuing around the left side of the churchyard, there are mort safes, bars or cages built over graves to discourage body snatchers. The mort safes at Greyfriars date back to the late 1820s and are known as double better mort safes. Two of Edinburgh's most notorious notables, Burke and Hare, made a living out of selling fresh corpses to Robert Knox to use in his anatomy classes. While they turned to murder rather than grave robbing to keep up with supply and demand, others raided the churchyards for recent burials for the same reasons. Against the wall of the left-hand side of the kirkyard is the burial place with reportedly the highest level of supernatural activity. The Black Tomb of Bloody Mackenzie is said to be haunted by a vicious poltergeist. In 17th century Scotland, an intense religious struggle was ignited when King Charles introduced the Common Book of Prayer as a prescribed liturgy and declared all opposition to the book an act of treason. A man named George Mackenzie was responsible for putting the opposition down. George Mackenzie was a lawyer and the Lord Advocate during the rule of Charles II and quickly earned a reputation as one of the most vicious persecutors of the Covenanters, the people who rose up and signed the National Covenant in 1638. Mackenzie's brutal and unfeeling treatment of the protesters even earned him the moniker Bloody Mackenzie. He imprisoned many Covenanters in a section of Greyfriars Kirkyard in Edinburgh, where he delighted in their torture. The guards were allowed to beat the Covenanters at will. The prisoners spent over 4 months outside in the graveyard awaiting trial. Each cell was made of brick and without a ceiling, leaving inmates completely open and unprotected from the elements. They were given a daily food allowance of just 4 ounces of bread. There was also a rule that after a certain time at night, no one was allowed to move. If they did not follow this rule, the inmate next to them would be killed, leaving their cellmate's blood on their hands. Conditions were so inhumane that the Covenanters' prison is often described as the world's first concentration camp. In the end, many prisoners were executed, their heads decorating the spiked gates, while hundreds of others died of malnutrition. You can still see where the Covenanters' prison was in the top left corner of the cemetery. In a final ironic twist, after his death in 1691, George Mackenzie was buried in his crypt in Greyfriars, not 100 yards from the prison. His final resting place is now known as the Black Mausoleum. His mausoleum has been the site of a number of desecrations. In early 1999, a homeless man, looking for somewhere to sleep, entered Greyfriars. The evening was a stormy one, with heavy rain and a howling wind, so shelter was the first thing on his mind. The Black Mausoleum is visible from the entrance, so the man headed that way and managed to find a way in. After entering, he noticed a narrow staircase leading down away from the wind and rain. So down he went. On reaching the bottom, the floor gave way and he fell through, landing on bones. Adrenaline kicked in, and pushing the bones away, he grabbed for the floor he'd fallen through and managed to pull himself out. As he fled, he is said to have run into a local dog walker and told him what happened. More recently, in 2004, a duo of teens broke into the tomb and removed a number of unidentified remains, even beheading one corpse and using the skull like a hand puppet. They were found and tried under a centuries-old grave-robbing law described as violation of sepulture. After all the disruption in the mausoleum, it and the Covenanters' prison have become the focus of much local superstition. Since the 1990s, around 350 people have claimed to have been attacked by Mackenzie's furious spirit, with the activity increasing exponentially after the homeless man's invasion. People have reportedly been scratched, bruised, burned, pushed, and even bitten while viewing the tomb. Some leave with scratches and welts that are unexplainable. Cold spots and hot spots will suddenly appear, and many complain of something they could not see touching them. Others have fallen into a comatose state or passed out. Inhabitants of the house against the graveyard wall began to claim that there was poltergeist activities within their home. There is an account of a child who'd been up to mischief in a local school, run away, and was hiding from the teachers searching for him. George Harriet's school is located just on the other side of the wall. His hiding place was Mackenzie's crypt. The child was found sometime later in a state of hysteria that he apparently never recovered from, and he never spoke of what he had witnessed. Another woman was found unconscious next to the mausoleum, her neck covered with bruises, suggesting someone had tried to strangle her. The attacks escalated to the point where the city of Edinburgh finally closed off the Covenanters' prison from the public. Now, the city only allows controlled visits to that section as part of the City of the Dead Ghost Walk. Visitors and tour groups began finding dead birds, completely unmarked, outside the black mausoleum. A sickly, sweet smell would sometimes fill the Covenanters' prison, while the rest of the graveyard smelt normal. Tour groups have also reported hearing growling and rapping noises in the vault, and individuals have become convinced that an evil presence was in there with them. Thanks to the many violations, the doors to the mausoleum remain locked, but visitors can still peek through and recite the old children's rhyme. Bloody Mackenzie, come out if you dare, lift the snack and draw the bar. In November 1999, Colin Grant, a minister of a spiritualist church and owner of the Clairvoyant Shop on St. Mary's Street, stood in the Greyfriars Kirkyard and performed an exorcism. He stood in front of the local press with a candle, a cross to ward off evil spirits, holding a Bible in his right hand, and claimed he had finally cast out the spirits that had been trapped in the graveyard for centuries. As the ritual grew to a close, a dark shape was witnessed gliding across a window in the Edinburgh church, even though it was locked and no one was inside. The exorcism that Grant performed seemed ineffective, and 2 months later, further reports of activity were made. In January, not long after he expressed fears that this exorcism would kill him, Colin Grant died from a heart attack while speaking to the spirit world during a seance at the Clairvoyant Shop. Mr. Grant had visited to investigate the claims by Jan Andrew Henderson that 49 people taking part in his ghost walks of the Covenanters' prison and Mackenzie's mausoleum over the previous 8 months had claimed to have had paranormal experiences, which have also been put down to Mackenzie's violent poltergeist. A second exorcism was later attempted, but also failed, as visitors to Mackenzie's mausoleum and the Covenanters' prison still experience his rage to this day. In the daylight hours, Greyfriars Kirkyard is a beautiful place for a tranquil stroll, revealing only hints of its bloody past. Thousands of tourists who visit Edinburgh stop by each year. Ghosts, wizards, missing bodies, and legendary dogs? What more could one cemetery ask for? Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Nocturnal Mysteries Podcast. I will be back in 2 weeks' time with a new episode for you. If you would like to keep up with the show, you can follow me on Instagram at Nocturnal Mysteries Pod, on TikTok at Nocturnal Mysteries, or on X at NoctMistPod. After the episode releases, make sure to check out the show's TikTok, as I usually post a picture with videos of the site and any other information that I find. If you have anything you would like to hear me cover on the show, please don't hesitate to reach out on social media and let me know. Also, I am honored to be a part of Bad Secret Media with one of my personal favorite podcasts, the Secret Levels Podcast. You can go to badsecretmedia.com to find all the information on all the shows under the Bad Secret Media umbrella. If you would like to support the show, the best thing you can do is rate or review the show wherever you listen to it. This will help others find the show and share in the spooky with the rest of us. All episodes are researched and written by myself and edited by the man behind the mysteries, the show's executive producer, Toby Von Doom. You can find him on social media at Toby Von Doom. Until next time, stay curious, stay weird, stay kind, and before leaving the board, don't forget to always say goodbye.